this is kind of the opening motif for this show now, I think. We always open up the show now with, it's been a while. Right?
That's like our tagline.
It's our tagline.
We need Ghostly Talk t-shirts that say it's been a while.
I think we should start doing that. Like, yeah, instead of like Dead Air never sounded so good. Like, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Because it has been a little while. And, you know, every damn show, it's like, well, you know, we got it's the same shit. We're busy.
Life,
you know,
interferes. Whatever.
Yeah, we're busy. You know the story, guys. I'm not going to keep telling it every damn week. So, yeah, we're cool. We're here. And, yeah, Ghostly Talk's here again to do whatever we do here. Amber's over there doing, she's intensely reading something.
I was updating Facebook with a picture of Tony. Our guest who knows what he's doing tonight on the show. Say hi, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Well played.
Our dear friend Tony is here in the studio tonight to hang
out
with us.
The fact that you dropped your voice when you did that was a little
weird. We were talking about the whole, like, what's a Barry White thing?
We got into pillow talk there for a minute.
Because Tony's a singer of the band. We play in a band together called Thousand Yard Stare, and we'll pimp the shit out of that band tonight, I guess. It'll be fun. I've never really pimped any of the
play
band
it
stuff.
At the
I think
end.
You should play it.
Yeah. You know what? We'll do that. We'll do a Thousand Yard Stare cut at the end of the show. That'll be super cool. But yeah, Tony, my man, is here. And, you know, I guess we'd call him a special guest, but Tony's just Tony. Tony's the man, and I love him, and we all love him.
Special.
Tony's a very special person to us. Tony has one of the nastiest throats I've ever heard in my life. He's a singer of our band, Thousand Yard Stare. And, he's one of the sickest singers I've ever heard, which you'll be hearing later on when the show ends, I guess, now.
Yes, we have decided.
So welcome, Tony. Thanks for hanging out with us here tonight.
Thanks for having me.
We had quite a bitch fest before the show.
That seems to be
first though,
par for the course.
Go ahead.
Have to stay in with like what we talked about last show. Bonnie's week.
Oh God!
Anything happened?
Oh, Bonnie's week. Yeah.
We don't really want to talk about Bonnie's week. Bonnie. Let's see. Since we've last talked, what interesting things should I mention? I almost got hit by a car. While I was walking, that was a good time.
So the last time you got heckled.
Yeah.
And now you got nearly run over. So at least it's escalating
now.
Well,
see, okay, I'm walking down West Jefferson, and I'm on the side of the road. So there is 3 feet between me and the line for the road. And most people, when they drive by, give a very wide berth and go into the turning lane. This idiot, whoever it was, came straight at me and went off the side of the road. If I hadn't stepped to the left, he would have hit me. So, yeah, there was that.
It was probably that guy's brother.
I was in a wedding.
Oh, we heard all about
I wore a dress, and I did not burst into flames.
We had our pre-show pizza, and we had to hear all about that.
And I started a war that we're not going to go into.
That's Bonnie's week.
Explicit.
Yeah. That's my
people
week
are gonna
in
be dying
nutshell.
To know about it now.
Well, they're just gonna have to die, you know, or be my friend on Facebook. And that's all there is to it.
And I want to push this again. Dating at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, God. Stop it.
We need more creepers here. We only got like one or two creepers, I thought.
That was enough. Yeah, really, that was enough.
What was that email again?
I want date. Yeah. That was the entirety of the email. I don't even think
like those four words were spelled right.
It's not even a complete sentence, so clearly I would stab the guy in the testicles within the first 5 minutes.
It was bizarre.
Of said date.
It was weird.
Well, and we didn't set up a forward for that. I mean, you'd have to just contact the page and say, I want to date Bonnie.
Yes, we did.
No, I don't think we did.
We did set up. I set
Scott
up a forward.
Scott did set it up.
I set up a forward.
Because there's no link to it.
I got the emails.
Okay,
on the show. We say dating at ghostlytalk.com. How hard is that to remember?
Yeah.
No, I set up the forwarder for all that crap.
Fine.
So what is it?
We're trying to get Bonnie laid.
Oh, my God.
We're trying to get her some poontang.
Getting Bonnie laid is not the issue. On one of the shows, we were talking about people I encounter on dating sites.
And unsolicited dick pics.
And unsolicited
dick pics for miles. Miles of dick pics.
I could actually, as John Tenney said that night, do a pop-up book of unsolicited dick pics.
That would sell. In every novelty gay, like Spencer's Gifts, anything like that.
Because
Bonnie's dick pic pop-up book.
Apparently,
if someone says hi to you and you respond back with hello, that pretty much opens the door for dick pics and very odd conversation. So we were talking about that, yeah. And Scott and Amber had this bright idea to start dating at ghostlytalk.com
and
try and get dates.
For Bonnie, yeah.
Okay.
We should just make it a reality show and film it.
Which is horrifying. Oh, my God, that would be horrible.
What's that, Tony?
Can I tell a dick pitch story?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, we love dick pitch stories here. Go ahead.
Years ago, when I was in Grievance, another band, we used to practice
Great band.
This place called Loft. It was like where all the bands play.
Shitty place.
Yes, very shitty.
Horrible place.
Yes, big cockroaches and eddy bugs. And so we used to get really high and do all that good old stuff. And I fell asleep, passed out, blacked out, whatever. And this group of girls that used to hang out with all of us, I wouldn't call them groupies because we didn't like bang them or anything like that. They just hung out with us. They decided to go through all these porn magazines and cut out pictures of just junk, mm-hmm. the guy's dick, so dick pictures. And they loaded my wallet. And I did not know they did this. And I'm driving home, and I stop at the gas station to get gas and shit. And I'm in the gas station right over on Telegraph, and I pull my wallet out to get money out. And
and dicks go everywhere. It's like Dick Fetty.
That is the line of the night. Dick Fetty.
Sounds like a mobster's name.
I like it.
Dick Fetty.
My name is Dick Fetty.
Well, that's very similar to, well, kind of, sort of, but in the same twisted sexual way. When we were doing the Ghostly Talk photo shoot many, many moons ago.
Which one was that?
When Bobby came up to take our pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Tingle, I love you. Bobby had an idea for a picture, and he sent me a message, and he said, I need you to get your hands on handcuffs and a whip. And I said, okay, I just opened the drawer next to me, done. So he's like, bring them with you to the photo shoot. Okay, fine. So we were all meeting at Doug's house. This is when he still lived with Larry. And I have handcuffs and a whip in my purse. And I stop at the gas station right by Doug's house to get cigarettes and pop and everything else, go to pull out my wallet, and handcuffs and a whip land right on the counter. And the guy behind the counter just looked at me like,
What
the fuck are you doing? And I was just like, nah,
wait, no, man, we take cash here.
It's just for a photo shoot, which I think made it worse. Anyways, I'm pretty sure that guy will never forget that night.
That was the 2008 photo shoot, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
Yeah, where we shot like in a park or
yeah, and in Larry's bedroom.
Oh yeah, that was the infamous photo.
Yep.
That's like my favorite Ghostly Talk like promo photo ever done was what, yeah. And for you guys out there, you know, the old listeners, maybe you remember that picture. It's actually Doug and I
in handcuffs.
It came out great.
It's you and Doug in handcuffs and me whipping Doug.
Yeah, it came out phenomenal though.
Dominating the paranormal airwaves. Bobby Tingle is a genius.
Yeah, it came out awesome. It was such a fun picture.
My favorite picture that we never used for anything from that photo shoot is you and I choking each other.
Oh, we did one of those too?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this crap.
It's on my Facebook page. I use it from time to time.
Yeah, so, okay, we're back on dick pics again.
I started it.
Well, we asked for the week in Bonnie, or
yes.
Bonnie's week.
Don't say the week in Bonnie. That sounds like a whole different pop-up book, so yeah, let's not call it the week in Bonnie.
The week in Bonnie.
That's a bad title, host, Amber. Rework it.
So yeah, okay, so completely unrelated. So... We're still kind of working our way up
Great
here.
Great segue.
You know, back in the day, we were the master of segues. We could just do it flawlessly, completely seamlessly.
We didn't have the weekend Bonnie.
We couldn't talk about dick pics as much as we do now. Now we have the freedom to do whatever we want, which is great. And what do we do with this wonderful freedom? No, we don't enlighten minds. We don't open people's minds. We talk about dick pics.
Dick Fetty.
Dick Fetty. Yeah, Dick Fetty.
Fetty.
Dick Fetty. So. What we're going to go on this week, I guess. We'll see where... I don't even... I mean, this week... Now, you know, here's the thing. I think we talked about this before. you know, I was taking shit from the two bitches on the show here, right? Because
damn you, Tony.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Exactly. You know, I was taking shit from you guys because I wasn't prepared enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody who knows us personally or know how this show used to run back in the day, I used to take a lot of shit for being overprepared.
It was less about giving you shit because you weren't prepared and more shock that you weren't prepared.
Well, no, I was getting beat up on that one show. I don't remember which one it was now, but people were like,
"Because you were unprepared."
I was totally unprepared. And I'm like, well, I thought that was like the new thing here. So I'm gradually...
We just come on and talk about dick pics and my dating life.
Okay. And then we work a ghost story.
That's the new paranormal show.
That's it.
That's how this works.
Well, we used to say that about back in the day. We're like, you know, dick jokes and ghost stories.
Exactly.
That's what we were trying to do. That's like, that was our genre. Like, that was our niche in the market, was that, like, that very, very narrow, like, group of people, I guess.
But we rocked it.
Oh, yeah, we totally rocked it. Tony, you're like, you're ready to eat the mic. What do you want? What do you want?
I don't want anything.
You're like all over that
He's
mic.
He's just perched and ready.
He's perched
speak.
And ready.
Tony actually does have the wiener mic.
He does.
I've got the wiener mic.
I did give that to Mike.
You can actually change it if you don't want the wiener on the end.
Don't change it in the middle of the show. It'll sound even worse.
He doesn't mind wiener. We're good to go.
I don't mind wiener.
You know,
I'm secure with
it. Here it is, Bonnie. She gets dick fetty all the time.
I don't mind wiener in all shapes and sizes. Please continue to send your pictures to. I'm joking.
No, dating at ghostlytalk.com.
No.
It'll be hilarious.
No.
If we get one dick
no,
pic.
No, yeah,
there.
Yeah, guys, we really don't want to see that
if
stuff.
We, okay, I'm going to say this right now. If you send a dick pic to dating at ghostlytalk.com, I'm going to put that shit on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. We will post the picture and your email address.
And embarrass you.
And we will embarrass you. We will shame you all over the social networking channel.
I will give you a rating on the dickometer, and it will probably not be friendly.
Now we've opened up a whole new cavern in this conversation.
That's a pig in the blanket.
Bonnie's dickometer.
Now we have a whole new bit
on
this show.
No, if you want to send your wiener and have it rated by Bonnie.
Wiener,
this is a whole different avenue.
At ghostlytalk.com.
Those are acceptable pictures.
That wouldn't even hit the back of your throat.
Dickometer at ghostlytalk.com.
Okay, all right.
Get on subject before.
I'll set the forwarder up for that.
Straight in the toilet.
Let's go to Nazis now.
Nazis?
I'll set the forwarder up for that after the show. Wieners at ghostlytalk.com. We'll get that going for you guys.
I like buying dickometer at ghostlytalk.com.
Let's get serious, guys. Come on.
I can't after that.
All right, let's talk about some Nazis.
Scott, you take it.
Well, here's how this thing got going. I just finished it up again. I've actually read this book cover to cover. It's a book called Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson. Anybody out there, I don't know if you're listening, I don't know if you're familiar with this author, but he's one of my favorites. The guy's absolutely incredible. He writes just these epic, massive stories. They're like, you know, 1,000-page novels. So they're a real bear to like really get through and get the idea of what's happening, because his stories are so complex and so dense, right? Cryptonomicon, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it does center around World War II, which, of course, coming out of and I had to actually, like, when I say I got through it again, I actually bought the audiobook. Because I'm like, I can't read this. I really want to, like, get through it again, but I just can't, with all the crap going on, my brain can't focus anymore. I just can't read like that anymore. So I'm like, well, I can do the book on tape thing when I'm on the bicycle, when I'm out walking, whatever.
Do you have the book here?
I have it. I own it, yeah. So, it's like 40 hours of listening. I'm telling you right now, it's a serious dedication. It's a lot of time.
That's fine.
But it's a really phenomenal story. And it, as I said, it does center around World War II. And stories around that. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. It's something you should experience, though. But it got me, you know, kind of back into my World War II mind. So I've been kind of really riffing on that stuff. So I thought it'd be kind of neat to talk about strange World War II stories tonight. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's when you got to master the drops, Scott.
Yeah, I don't have the drops in yet. I don't even have the drops up. I forgot about it tonight.
Oh, God.
I don't have a World War II drop, though. Well, here, you guys talk and I'll find one. Here, go, okay. Go.
No, we really don't need a
find. Seriously? No, this is complete. You were leading into our
topic.
Yeah,
now you're looking for a WAV file.
And now you're just going to leave us hanging?
No, I'm not leaving you hanging.
Amber, what do you want to talk about?
I don't really know. I'm
We can go back to the Dick-O-Meter if
the
you
Dick-O-Meter.
Want.
The Dick-O-Meter? It can have a series of like ratings, little pictures.
Yes.
Maybe we can get a gadget going with lights. You can wave it around the wiener.
I'm tired of talking about this shit already.
It'll
Stop.
Be like, hey. Instead of a K2.
Yeah, Tony,
yeah
what?
It's like,
are
yeah.
you going to like have rated on a shower or a grower? You know, because the guy might not have much when it's, you know, just flopping in the wind.
I'm going to have to put some thought into this.
Yeah
that's just, we're, I'm waiting for
maybe there's a like, containment device you can develop to put the wiener in.
Containment device.
Just blowing in the wind. Freaking,
this is like
I'll
Ghostbusters.
Put it in a Faraday cage. Hold on.
It's Ghostbusters, the X-rated version. It's got the cage like they used to catch ghosts
just stick
in.
Stick it here in the snake tank here.
In the
happens.
Snake tank.
All right, so anyways, World War II. I really started kind of riffing on ideas and stories that were unexplained from World War II. I think it's a time, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and claim I'm some kind of expert on that. I'm not much of a historian, but I find, you know, ideas from this. And I think anybody who's done any kind of reading, who's been around, I mean, you're going to be exposed to these, you know, the stories. And we all know what World War II was, right? So there are... Tony, you don't. Tony shook his head. You can't even read, Tony. Shut up. You don't even know how to read. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to talk about some interesting World War II stories tonight. Maybe ones you may have not heard. Maybe ones you may have heard. So I don't know, guys. Which one do you guys want me to like bang into out of the gate here?
Nancy Bell.
The Nancy Bell.
Amber would like you to butcher that one first.
Or
please.
Die Glock. Die Glock.
Yeah, I don't speak German.
I think of
all you gotta do.
German is a very guttural language.
Well, it's a very harsh language. It's a very harsh language. This of all these ones, I think this may be the one that may be the most recognizable. Like people have heard about this before. So let's talk about it for a second. I'll just kind of give you guys an idea. Die Glock, the Bell, was a supposed top secret Nazi scientific technological device, secret weapon, or Wunderwaffe.
I like that word. It sounds like a fun food.
Described by Polish journalist and author Igor Witowski in Prawad u Wunderwaffe. This was in 2000, right? I'm going to throw a few sentences out here. I'm going to more or less just kind of outline it. The Glock was allegedly an experiment carried out by the Third Reich scientist working for the SS in a German facility known as Duris, close to the Czech border. The Glock is described as being a device made out of hard, heavy metal. Throw the horns up.
Sadly,
you guys
it just
couldn't see
happened.
This. Everybody did that. where the hell was I at now? Okay. Approximately 2.7 meters wide and 3.7 to 4.6 meters high, having the shape similar to that of a large bell, hence the name. According to an interview of Witkowski by Cook, this device ostensibly contained two counter-rotating cylinders. This is what got me really interested here in this thing, to really get into the meat of this. Counter-rotating cylinders, which would be filled with a mercury-like substance, violet in color. This metallic liquid was codenamed Zerum 525 and was stored in a tall, thin thermos flask, a meter high, encased in lead. Additional substances said to be employed in the experiments referred to as Lichtmetall, light metal, I guess that's German for light metal, included thorium and beryllium peroxides. Witowski describes the Glock, when activated, as having an effect zone extending out to 150 to 200 meters, which would be 490 to 660 feet within the zone. Crystals would form in animal tissue, blood would gel and separate while plants would decompose into a grease-like substance. Witowski also said that five of the seven original scientists working on the project died in the course of the tests.
Imagine that.
Based upon...
I can't think of...
It's that purple grape juice they put in there.
Better thing to happen to
so,
them.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean...
I'd like to thank our friends at Wikipedia. I kind of took some from that,
so I want to cite it, though, Wikipedia. Considering this a top secret weapon?
Well, here's
or was it like
here's where
UFO?
I'll go off
like
here's
time
where
travel.
This is where we go off script, okay? This is the idea, right? Now what they say about the Nazi bell, die Glocke, was that this may have been, and here's the thing, the stuff that I read on this, no one ever actually saw this. This was just, they literally got this idea of what this was from diagrams in this area that we're talking about by the Czech border, right? So this was never even proven, like it was never seen, there's no pictures. No one has any real artifacts to prove that this ever even really existed. However, the idea is interesting because what we're talking about here, if you really think about it, and this isn't a new idea, but I think it's compelling regardless, is this is the first UFO. Not UFO as in aliens, because we can go into this, we can go down this whole rabbit hole if we want to, but we've heard this story where a lot of sightings of UFOs, there have been stories that there are top secret government experiments going on. Ooh, that they're basically being backwards engineered from other things. So we do have these rotating discs or just floating discs flying around the sky. Now, if you look at the Nazi, in the picture of the Nazi, I kind of described it. There are some diagrams. You can go on Google, I'm sure, and find the shit. Or go to the library. Go to the fucking library. Maybe go there for a day.
Walk around.
It might be kind of fun. I don't know.
I heard you can get movies at the library.
You can.
But you better not fucking bring
them
back.
Don't return
them
late.
Yeah, don't return them late.
You'll
get killed.
To a fucking...
$2 a day at my library.
Yeah.
A collecting agency like
yeah,
me.
You don't want that. So, but think about this for a second, though. I mean, the Nazi bell, this idea, the idea of two counter-rotating discs inside there, it's an anti-gravitational device. That's kind of what they were going for here, I think, whether it existed or not. Let's pretend for a second, hypothetically, that it did exist. So... let's just hypothetically think that maybe this was retrieved somehow. When the war ended, this was retrieved somehow.
Like that?
Tony's doing a demonstration of the bell with his hands.
God forbid anybody freaking tries to make a
point on this
show.
I should do a GIF of this.
Well, I want to know.
Okay.
Am I the only person that thinks every time you say Nazi bell, maybe it's just the musician in me?
Oh, God. Stop. No, we don't.
I think of, like... some neo-Nazi punk rock band having a ballad song calling it the Nazi
the
bell.
Nazi bell! Yeah, I
just... oh, my.
No.
Wow. What? Okay,
what?
Do you remember there was
something...
oh, I'm
sorry, I sang on the air.
Do you remember there was something that supposedly appeared out of nowhere somewhere, and they were saying, oh, that could be the long-lost Nazi bell. But see, that was a time travel thing. But I swear it had something to do with Nazis, and I should have looked it up and did my homework.
I mean, okay, if you want to, again, if we want to go down the rabbit hole here, who knows? I mean, there's no artifacts to prove that this thing actually physically existed.
Right.
Right? So, but let's just hypothetically pretend for a second that, like, let's just pretend for a second that this existed. Maybe, I don't know, was this what they were, maybe they weren't just working on anti-gravity, maybe they were working on time travel. There have been stories that have been written and documented that the Third Reich was working on all kinds of crazy shit.
Well, they had brilliant people working for them, which then after the war, we all got to come work for us.
Yeah, and that's true.
It's a fact.
So maybe they, okay, then that's another interesting point right there, Amber. So you have these brilliant people.
So now we have the anti-gravity propulsion systems that the Nazis were working on.
Yeah. So maybe they took those ideas, come over here and said, well, here, this is what we're working on in Germany. You guys want to build something cool like this? Let's build an American bell. I don't know. But I do find it interesting. Like, you know, it's a very simple line to draw from the Nazi bell, die Glocke. And what we see, what we supposedly see, we've seen videos and whatnot of what we would refer to as a UFO now, floating in the sky. And Amber, think about this for a second.
Well, the whole UFO thing got hot right after World War II.
It did. Got real hot. And even, I mean, I'm not trying to draw a line to this intentionally, but it's an interesting thought because I'm going back into my mental microfiche on this. And when we had our experience.
Yeah.
This is, again, this is from my mental microfiche. But looking at what we were looking at physically.
Microfiche. You calling it microfish?
Okay, dude, we started talking about dick like, pics.
Oh, he's got fish on the brain.
We were writing fish songs. Yeah, there's like a real fish theme going on tonight.
I think this whole Nazi bell thing sounds like the new plot for the new Indiana Jones movie coming out.
God. They're talking about doing it. Are they doing another one?
Yeah. Harrison Ford's only, 82 years old or whatever.
So
he's getting up there.
But what I was saying, though, was...
Well, and Roswell happened in 1947.
Well, yeah, not too long after the end of the war.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, I think, and again, I don't think this is a new idea. I don't think it's a new idea for a reason. It's a very logical idea. I'm not going to sit here and try to make up some crazy conspiracy theory about this. I think this makes the most sense about this story if, again, if we're pretending that this all really even happened. There's no documentation. There's no evidence. There's no artifacts to prove that Nazi Bell ever really existed. Again, we're not experts on this thing. But I thought, you know, as far as something to talk about, this is super cool. And in my opinion, this probably is the most recognizable as far as, you know, the experiments the Nazis were doing or the Third Reich was doing. I mean, I don't want to go into some of the things they were doing on people. We know those stories, and I don't even want to talk about that. That stuff's almost, it's actually tear-jerking.
Horrific.
It's horrific.
We'll just say it's horrific.
We'll leave it at that. So that's in Die Glock, the Nazi Bell. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. What's that?
Declop.
So, all right, I'm tired. Okay, I've had a long day. So is there a point to your story? Well, my point was I actually made notes for the damn show. That was my point from about 15 minutes ago. I made notes for the show tonight, so I'm not reading all this shit.
You are okay. Back the boat up, Mister, because I seem to recall when we were upstairs.
Yeah.
You said, I'll read the stories, and then we'll just rip from there.
I reserve the right to change the rules whenever I want.
Oh, God.
I'm changing the rules. So I'm going to pick somebody now. You guys want to be picked? And you're looking at me,
it's
Amber.
Like duck, duck, goose.
Do we have to run around the table really quick?
Oh, that's some good radio right there.
Okay, your turn for the conspiracy theory next.
All right, so, do you want to talk about that one?
I like Hitler's death. Because I watched a documentary on it last night.
Well, let's talk. Well, Amber, the floor is yours.
Hitler's still in Argentina somewhere, preserved.
Well, what do we got here? Let's talk about
this. He's immortal.
He's not immortal.
Well, they think that he had body doubles. And those body doubles were the ones that got shot. Him and Eva Braun, his wife. And then they were snuck off to Argentina. Where there are German, I don't know, communities over there. After World War II, I mean, a lot of those Nazis had to flee anyway because they couldn't stick around. Yeah, they had to get out of there.
Well, yeah, and well, you know what? This actually ties in. You know, I'll tie this in with another one that I actually put down here.
U-530.
U-530. Okay, that was a German U-boat. U-530, and I only have a quick blurb on this, so I'm not going to be reading you a whole story. After Admiral Dönitz ordered the war's end. Of World War II, obviously, German U-boat 530 did not surrender. Instead, it traveled to Mar del Plata, Argentina, and eventually gave itself over to the Argentinian Navy. The suspicious thing about this craft is that the sub's captain, Otto Wermuth, refused to explain why it took them 2 months to get to Argentina, why they dismantled their own deck gun, why the crew had no identification, or why there was no log on the ship. Some speculate that their secrecy covered up the ferrying of high-ranking Nazis to South America, including Adolf Hitler himself. So
I think that just seemed to, of all the World War II Nazi conspiracies, Hitler conspiracies, that one seems like I could believe it. Because that guy had such an ego and thought so highly of himself and what he was doing, why would he just shoot himself?
I always thought that was...
Like, that guy's going to try and get out and continue his mission elsewhere.
I thought he overdosed.
Why his wife took cyanide. He supposedly shot himself. And then when they dug up the body, and then the Russians supposedly had the body for a while. They claimed they went and dug it back up and had it, and then eventually... the skull piece was looked at, and it was the skull of a 40-year-old woman. So it wasn't him. Maybe that's the real story.
Adolf Hitler was a 40-year-old woman. That explains the intense anger. He was on his period while going through menopause, and
really ugly.
Had a
never waxed
killer mustache.
I think, in all seriousness, what Amber said does make sense. I mean, we have the man, literally this man is trying to single-handedly take over the world.
Right. Yeah, he's just going to shoot himself. And that didn't work out.
He damn near did it. He damn near did it, right? A man with that kind of power, and I don't care if it was in the early 40s, a man with that kind of power, you'd think that they would have these kind of resources. That it would be very difficult to kill a man like that, or a man just to give up that easy and say, well, you know what, guys, game's over. I said, better just check out.
People so believed in what he was doing that they're going to die for him.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to do whatever it takes to get him out of there. It's not like the war ended, and they're like, well, you know what? What you were doing was stupid, so we don't believe it anymore.
He was wrong, so let's just move on.
Yeah, let's find the next cool trend.
It shows you how weak-minded people are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at
nowadays with the whole thing in the Middle East and everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I was just going to say that. This idea, it's very similar to what we're seeing now. And an idea is the most dangerous thing on this planet, along with a belief, because ideas become beliefs, right? They become systems of beliefs. And you cannot, as much as I don't want to turn this into a political conversation, but I say this over and over again about what's happening now. There is no way you're going to kill this idea. There's no way that you're going to stop what's happening. And I mean, I'd like to see it stop more than anybody, but you are talking about a system of beliefs that have been handed down generation to generation to generation.
Well, right.
And you think you're just going to wipe it off this planet?
Breeds ignorance.
Yeah, totally. And the same thing. Now, mind you, the Third Reich was a much shorter lived idea, let's say. But you, like Amber said, there were people that had that same mentality, though, where they were willing to do anything for the Fuhrer. They wanted to. I mean, I think we've all, in our lives, I think we've all met someone or come across somebody. I mean, there's people that I still work with or I aspire to that I would do anything for them. You know, for different reasons, not because they're some cult leader. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there are people that I look up to, and there's very few things that I wouldn't do for these people, usually over a course of many years of working together. And there's, you know, where a bond of respect and friendship comes out, or love, right? And I think all those things are very evident with what we're talking about with Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. There was that. I think there also, though, there was another ingredient in this mix, and that was fear. I think fear was a very big factor of that. So I think, and I'm sorry to go into these, it's interesting to me, though, because you take fear and you mix that into this idea. Right now you have people that, you know, well, I fear this man. If I say the wrong thing, if I do the wrong thing, he'll kill me right on the spot. Well, I want to do anything I can for this guy to show him that I can't be lost. I'm his right hand man.
You want to show you're loyal.
You want to show your loyalty. Exactly. So it's an interesting amalgamation of ideas, I think, because I think people truly did. I mean, I think within the Third Reich, there were people that truly did love Adolf Hitler.
He was, you know, charismatic.
He was a drama. That's where he got his shtick from. He was a fucking drama student. That's where he was so charismatic.
But they were involved in like occult things, because didn't they have something going on with Madame Blavatsky?
Or
is that all conspiracy theory too?
No, there a lot of. I mean, and again, this is, we're really kind of just scraping the water here. We're not doing any kind of real deep digging on this. There are a lot of, you know, within the idea of the Aryan and the belief of the Aryan race and things like that, the Teutonic race, there was a lot of basis on esotericism. And that was, you're talking about like Isis Unveiled, that the book by Madame Helena Blavatsky. Those were ideas that the Third Reich did, I think, lift, not borrow, stole, right, and used for their belief system, which makes me laugh even harder, because we're just seeing another example here of a belief system, and I'm not going for the shit on religion part either, but you're seeing a belief system literally assembled here, and people take it hook, line, and sinker. And say, well, this is how the world works. This is the explanation for everything. We're very much traping the top of the water here. But I, you know, just looking at it from the outside in, there is this thing where we're lifting all these different ideas from other places and combining them and making it into this belief system that we have with the Third Reich, right? Which I don't... What the hell was the name of it? I mean, I don't even know what the name of it was. I mean...
Their belief system?
Their belief system, yeah. I mean...
Oh, I don't... Did it have a name? I'll look. I'm going to Google.
Googling. So, but it goes back to that idea where I think is fascinating is just... And we just kind of stumbled upon this idea is... This idea that people would do anything for this guy. Maybe it's because they truly love the man. Maybe it's because they truly feared the man.
I think more fear.
I think it may have been a mixture of both.
And I'm sure there's a small portion that actually believed what he was saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
And it's easy to brainwash the mind.
Oh, yeah. People will follow. I think people really like to follow. Let's put it in perspective for a second here. I think people do want to belong to something. We all know that. We all want to be a part of some type of camaraderie where we have similar interests and we can converse about things, right? You know, music's our thing, Tony. Music's our thing, Amber. You know, we all can sit there and riff and talk about music all the time because we have this bond that we all kind of share this interest, right? Far from destructive. It's very productive, actually. So I think even going back to that era, that idea was just as alive back then. People want to belong to something, right? They want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Some people go and get jobs, and they put their energy into a job. And that's what fulfills them. And maybe... being part of the Third Reich was someone's job, and that's what fulfilled them and made them feel part of something
maybe
that was bigger than them, right? I'm not condoning this, by the way.
No.
It was a fucking horrible thing.
But, I mean, like, a lot of people see stuff, like, way up here, you know, like...
Eat the mic.
Way up here, eat the mic.
Eat the mic.
Eat the mic.
What were you saying?
No, but with, you know, like, following and everything, I mean, you can go all the way back to, like, even Roman...
Roman Empire.
Taking over, you know, the world and mm-hmm. like, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to follow, you know, if you got a weak mind, you're like, whatever. Well,
what's the alternative? I mean, that's what comes down to fear.
I can go and live in my cave and, you know.
Yeah.
Eat whatever.
Look around you now. Look around you now. And I mean, look, I play the game like any of us in this room do, right? If you want to have central air... If you want to have food,
gotta work.
If you want to be comfortable, it's not just you have to work. You gotta play the game. You know, working's one thing, but playing the game's a whole different. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. So, you gotta be part of something. You gotta be involved, right? You gotta what we would refer to as being a productive citizen, right? And there's not a thing wrong with that. I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with somebody going out there doing their thing, making their money, and living their life. That's the society that we've built as a race of people, at least here in the United States, right?
Right.
You got to play the game. So let's say for a second, like me, Uncle Scott L., right? I say, fuck this. I'm peace out. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore, right? Well, what's going to happen to me? Well, there could be a lot of things that could happen, right? There could be a lot of things that could happen. Definitely, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to do anything. Well, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my cars. I'm going to lose the things that I've worked for, right? The mm-hmm. things that I'm comfortable with, the things that I enjoy, the fruits of my labors, right? I'm going to lose those things. That's number one. And I'm pretty much on my own. You go out, and we have you hear about people that they're off the grid.
Yep.
They're people that live literally off the grid. And I find those people fascinating. How you can do that. And these are people... in my opinion, that are probably the hardest of the hard men and women because they are out there doing it all on their own. When they're hungry, they just don't go down to Trader Joe's or something and get food. Mm-hmm. They have to go out and kill it.
Right. Well, it's
they
like
got to grow it or kill it or do something. You know?
What was that movie that Eddie Vedder did the whole soundtrack to?
I don't know.
Into the Wild?
I never saw it.
Oh, Into the
What's
Wild.
What's it about?
It's this guy, he's 20-something year old. I don't know if he worked in Wall Street, somewhere like that. He's a multimillionaire, gives up everything, moves out west, and just sits there in like eats off the land, yeah. does all this stuff like that. It's true. It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
And well, and at the end of the movie, I mean, spoiler alert, he dies because he gets so delirious because he can't find the right stuff to eat.
Yeah,
that he's looking at this book about this potato and he reads it wrong, and this potato is a poisonous potato.
And he so it ends kills up you,
killing himself.
So what? That's another alternative right there. That's my point.
Right.
Is a lot of things could happen, but I choose as a person to play the game. I play the game. I have no regrets for that. I like what I do, right? And I'm comfortable where I'm at. So let's go back to the Third Reich. I'm not comparing this. I'm trying not to compare any of this, but I'm just trying to formulate these ideas. And I'm learning as I go along here, honestly, people. They played the game. If I want to eat, if I want to survive, I got to go along with this crazy fucking asshole.
Well,
because I think a lot of these guys are like, this guy's a fucking maniac.
Well, you got to also look, too, after World War One, the Allies bombed the living crap out of Germany. There was nothing left to Germany.
Yeah.
And Adolf Hitler came in, you know, the whole Nazi party came in, the power and stuff, and he brought, which was basically a third world country now, brought
to a global superpower.
Yeah, I mean, the economy was great. Everybody had jobs. You know, he did the Autobahn and this and that. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh,
Volkswagen.
He's like, oh, boy, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a positive output, though. Wait a minute. We're building something. I mean, and I'm not condoning anything here. But that was a part of the story, too, is that they built something up out of this thing. They did, you know, like you're saying, they took this from, you know, basically an impoverished nation to a global superpower.
Right.
And we've seen this
happen. Did it the wrong way.
Well, yeah, they did.
Yeah, he blamed it
on. So did Pablo Escobar, too.
He blamed it on Jewish people and homosexuals and everybody else that wasn't blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're probably flying into the weeds here. But going back, I mean, my whole thing with that is just like, why did this happen? Why did people, going back to the idea of how, and we're thinking of this idea of, okay, Hitler had body doubles, right? And this whole thing spawned from Amber's comment, like, well, there's people there that would just do anything for this guy. And that was my question, like, why? Why would people go this far, right? So, again, playing the game. That's my thing. It's like, okay, I'm playing the game here. I just want to live. I don't want to be killed. You know, mortality sucks. I you know, and I don't want to die. I know it's probably a lot more complicated than that. It's just, and again, I keep saying we're just kind of treading the waters here with this thing. But going on with this thing, though, we talked about U-530. There is evidence. There is some evidence that's out there. They say that alludes to Hitler was not, he didn't commit suicide, he didn't die in Germany. The classified FBI documents contain a number of alleged sightings of Hitler along with conspiracy theories of his escape from Germany. The FBI states information within those documents pertaining to the escape and sightings of Hitler, well, they can't be verified. Nothing can be verified, right? A skull fragment with a bullet hole found outside Hitler's bunker and kept in Russia's federal archives in Moscow was for decades believed to be that of Hitler. In 2009, samples of the skull were DNA tested at the University of Connecticut by archaeologist and bone specialist Nick Bellantoni et al. The sample was found to be that of a woman aged 40. Sound familiar, Amber?
Yeah. We just said that.
I know. Well, I'm just cranking through these notes. Well, you're sitting over there. You haven't said a word in like a half an hour.
Oh, my God. It has not been that long.
What are you doing over there?
I was looking up the Nazi religion.
Well, then, what? Okay, let's hear about it.
It's not really a religion.
Let's hear about it. Let's hear all about it,
all
Amber.
It said
you got the
was,
next half an hour to talk about this
now. Oh, my
now.
God. It just said the Nazi Party program of 1920 guaranteed freedom for all religious denominations, which were not, keyword, hostile to the state. And it also endorsed something they called positive Christianity in order to combat the Jewish materialistic spirit, those Jewish misers.
positive Christianity was a modified version of Christianity which emphasized racial purity and nationalism.
That's where we got to.
Yeah. And they also held the view that the Old Testament of the Bible was inaccurate, along with portions of the New Testament. Hitler claimed that Jesus was not a Jew, but was instead of Aryan origin. And he also claimed that Adolf Hitler, well, actually, I shouldn't say Adolf, some other dude claimed that. But he also claimed that Adolf was the new Messiah.
Well, we do that.
Hitler denounced the Old Testament as Satan's Bible. And utilizing components of the New Testament, he attempted to prove that Jesus was both an Aryan and an anti-Semite by citing passages such as John 8:44, where Hitler noted that Jesus is yelling at the Jews, as well as saying to them, "Your father is the devil," and the cleansing of the temple, which describes Jesus' wiping of the children of the devil. Hitler claimed that the New Testament included distortions by Paul the Apostle, whom Hitler described as a mass murderer turned saint.
That was an excellent reading.
Yeah, it was very animated. Very, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
The Academy Award goes to
very nice.
A podcast reading.
Yeah. So it really wasn't a religion, like you said.
No, they just were like, basically, don't screw with us, and we won't screw with you as long as you kind of agree with what we agree with. And
if you don't agree with us, we'll just come out there and take over your country.
Yeah.
That's why the Catholic Church threw all that stuff under the.
Well, they said they had some issues with the Catholics.
What was their beef?
Well, it says the Nazis were initially very hostile to Catholics because most Catholics supported the German Center Party. Catholics opposed the Nazis' promotion of sterilization of those whom they deemed inferior, and the Catholic Church forbade its members to vote for the Nazis. So they didn't like that. 1933, extensive Nazi violence occurred against Catholics due to their association with the Center Party and their opposition to the Nazi regime's sterilization laws. The Nazis demanded that Catholics declare their loyalty to the German state. And in their propaganda, the Nazis used elements of Germany's Catholic history, in particular the German Catholic Teutonic Knights, and their campaigns in Eastern Europe. The Nazis identified them as sentinels in the East against Slavic chaos. Through beyond that symbolism, the influence of the Teutonic Knights of Nazism was limited, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on.
Again, excellent.
Thank you. Brilliant.
I'm going to go refill my drink.
Okay. So, what still fascinates me is just that idea. I don't want to keep riffing on this, but yeah, go to Argentina, I guess, and you might be able to find Hitler. I don't know. He's got to be dead by now.
He's probably frozen in the Antarctic.
He's probably hanging with Elvis somewhere.
In a Burger King in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a coffee.
They're both back there flipping whoppers.
They're having some of that fine Burger King coffee.
Isn't it fine?
You know, it's actually very good.
I don't like Burger King.
There is no such thing as good coffee.
Oh, I love coffee.
Coffee's garbage.
I don't like coffee either. I like the smell of coffee.
Me too.
But I hate the fucking taste of coffee.
Exactly.
See,
I don't like anything in the morning. Coffee. Like, my wife will even eat coffee ice cream, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know how that works. How does that work?
It's got the beans or chocolate beans or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's in the ice cream. It's usually like a vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, and it
has like these little things.
Yeah, and
it's like a chocolate bean, and it's almost, and then the bean tastes like fucking coffee.
Gross.
That's disgusting.
See, I can't deal with that. I just want a cup of coffee. It's simple. Just warm liquid.
I love the smell of it brewing, but the taste is just pure nasty.
Amber's still getting a drink here.
Love the smell of napalm in the morning.
I love the smell of napalm. Smells like victory.
Victory.
Seriously?
Oh, I just was thinking for a second there.
Charlie doesn't.
We're just waiting for Amber. Come on, Amber, hurry up. No, actually, we'll move on.
She said she has to pee.
I don't know if you guys heard that on the microphone.
We could have left that one alone,
yeah,
but let's just announce it.
Well, let's talk about
peeing.
Another very interesting story that I found from World War II.
Thank you for that segue, Amber.
That was very good.
I like it.
The disappearance of Flight 19.
Dun dun dun.
Da-da.
Da-da.
I got a whole massive thing on here. I'm just tired. Amber, it's your turn. No, Bonnie, it's your turn.
Fine.
Bonnie, it's yours.
You just got to get the art form of picking and choosing what to read. Unless
Bonnie, it's all
you already
Bonnie.
Know it by heart and can just casually talk
I
about
don't
it.
I really know it by heart. I was given the notes today. I'll just read. The Bermuda Triangle's reputation as a boat and plane devouring chasm was first sealed in December 1945 when a group of five U.S. Navy Avenger torpedo bombers known as Flight 19 vanished in the Atlantic off the coast of Florida. No sign of the Avengers. First of all, I love the fact that they're called the Avengers.
No Iron Man. He was not found. We can do this together.
No sign of the Avengers was ever found, and a Navy seaplane sent to rescue them also disappeared without a trace. Dun, dun, dun. I'm sorry. I just feel the need to do that.
I know. We need this where we need a drop. I have to get the drop thing in front of me.
Yeah, really. Okay. So at 2:10 p.m. on December 5th, 1945, five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers took off from a naval air station in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The flight group known as Flight 19 were scheduled to execute an exercise known as Navigation Problem Number 1.
Ooh.
That would take approximately 3 hours. Their flight plan called for them to head east from the Florida coast to conduct bomb runs at a place called Hens and Chickens Shoals. First of all, let's talk
sounds
about
like a
that
restaurant.
A
that sounds like a delicious
it absolutely
restaurant.
Absolutely sounds
really good fried chicken, good like mashed potatoes, delicious
absolutely.
Gravy.
Absolutely. It
biscuits.
Sounds like a chain restaurant.
Biscuits
shrimp
and gravy.
And I think someone should open a place called Hens and Chicken Shoals.
Some fresh green beans.
Mm-hmm. Collard greens?
No, fuck the collard greens.
Oh, I like the collard greens.
I like deep fried okra.
Ooh. No, okra, yeah.
Fried pickles.
Guys, I left for like 2 minutes.
Anyways.
Some cornbread.
Tony's talking dirty.
After they went to the restaurant, then they would turn north and proceed over Grand Bahama Island and then change course a third time to fly southwest back to base. The flight leader was Lieutenant Charles C. Taylor, who was an experienced pilot and veteran of several combat missions in World War II. Taylor and his pilots flew over Hens and Chicken Shoals.
Restaurant.
They got some chicken. Around 2:30 p.m. and dropped their practice bombs as planned. Shortly, though, after the patrol turned north, for the second leg of its journey,
chicken
something
leg.
Strange happened.
Dun, dun, dun. What was that?
Not really known why to this day, Taylor became convinced that his craft's compass was malfunctioning and that his planes had been flying in the wrong direction.
I think they were drunk on chicken.
They were chicken drunk.
They just left the
chicken
restaurant.
Drunk.
Things got worse after a front blew in and brought rain, gusting winds, and heavy cloud cover. Flight 19 became hopelessly disoriented.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Robert F. Cox.
Where are we bunch of 12-year-olds?
Seriously? You had to know that with this group. Another Navy flight instructor who was flying near the Florida coast was the first to overhear the patrol's radio communications. He contacted Taylor to ask if they needed assistance. Both my compasses are out.
You gotta do that in a voice.
Oh, you do the voice.
Both my compasses are out, and I'm trying to find Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
He's from Boston.
Old Boston.
Wow.
Apparently,
Taylor said that his voice sounding anxious and from Boston.
I'm over land, but it's broken. I'm sure I'm in the Keys, but I don't know how far down.
Where are my Marlboros?
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh my God, this is the greatest story
I'm
ever.
I'm all out of cigarettes.
And I'm in the Bermuda Triangle. Fuck.
I ain't got no coffee.
Taylor's claim was strange. He'd made his...
You know, this story doesn't include people dying. You guys are all ridiculous.
How do you know they died? They might have went to the Bermuda Triangle and they're hanging out there for eternity.
I don't know.
Taylor's claim was strange. He'd made his scheduled pass over Hens and Chicken Shoals...
Get that extra fried.
In the Bahamas less than an hour earlier. But he now believed his planes had somehow drifted hundreds of miles off course and ended up in the Florida Keys. Taylor had just transferred to Fort Lauderdale from Miami, and some thought that he may have confused some of the islands of the Bahamas for the Keys.
Yeah.
Pilots lost in the Atlantic were instructed to point their planes toward the setting sun and fly west toward the mainland. Mm-hmm. But Taylor had become convinced that he might be over the Gulf of Mexico. Hoping to locate the Florida Peninsula, he made a fateful decision to steer Flight 19 northeast, a course that would only take them even further out to sea. Taylor was persuaded to turn around and head west, but shortly after 6 p.m., he seemed to have canceled the order and once again
he wanted a good chicken breast.
Changed direction.
Oh, I got another quote. "We didn't go far enough east,"
he said, still worried that he might be in the Gulf.
"We may as well just turn around and go east again."
His pilots most likely argued this.
"No, you can't go." "No."
Flight 19's transmission soon became increasingly faint as it meandered out to sea. When fuel began to run low, Taylor could be heard prepping his men for a potential crash landing in the ocean.
That's what's creepy, right? That part, this is what really put the hook in me, was that, like, imagine being the radio operator and just, you know, hearing the radio go more and more faint, harder to hear, and then you hear a message like that on there, like, "Guys, get ready, we're gonna bury these planes in the water."
A message like,
"All planes, close up tight,"
Taylor said.
"We'll have to ditch unless landfall. When the first people drop below 10 gallons, we all go down together."
Soon after, Flight 19's last radio communications were replaced by an eerie buzz of static. The Navy set out search planes to hunt for the missing patrol.
Yeah.
Around 7:30 p.m., a pair of PBM Mariner flying boats took off from an air station north of Fort Lauderdale. About 20 minutes into flight, one of them seemed to follow Flight 19's lead by suddenly vanishing off radar. It's commonly believed that the seaplane exploded shortly after takeoff. Flying boats were notoriously accident-prone and were even nicknamed flying gas tanks for their reputation for catching fire. Sorry, that's not funny, but it made me laugh. Suspicions that the seaplane burned up were confirmed by a passing merchant ship, which spotted a fireball and found evidence of an oil slick in the ocean.
Ooh.
How's that for reading? Yeah, take that.
I don't know, that Bermuda Triangle, there's always people that keep trying to come up with different theories as to, you know, what happens, and some think that there's like a natural magnetic anomaly in that area, which messes with everyone's flight meters and gadgets and all that stuff, and it causes them to blip off radars.
You think? Well, what do you think it is?
Well,
I don't think it's anything. I just think it's BS. Don't they fly planes through it now?
He thinks it's Bonnie Spittler.
Well, I want to thank our friends at History.com that article. I did take some of that for that article, so I wanted to point that out too. I just want to cite History.com for
and
that.
I would like to thank Amber and Tony for their brilliant work in that story. Good job, guys.
And what was the name of the fried chicken place?
What was it? Hens and Chickens Shoals.
Yes.
Hens and Chicken Shoals sponsored this.
Sponsored by Hens and Chicken Shoals.
They say that the disappearance of Flight 19 was the first documented story of a disappearance over the Bermuda Triangle of this sort. And we've heard a lot of stories ever since then. And I mean, the thread with that is, I think, what we were talking about here a second ago. Something happens with the gadgets on the plane, basically. I mean, and even back then, this is all analog, too. Much more accident-prone. That's what we hear over and over again, is that something happens with the actual readings, and people don't know where they're flying anymore. And we've heard that over and over. People keep flying in circles, literally going back and forth trying to find the direction
until they run out of gas.
It's a big, giant whirlpool.
Well, and then
any of you guys ever seen the Scooby-Doo episode?
Everything's accurate. That's a paranormal Bible. It's accurate.
I mean,
that's how you ghost hunt.
When, you know, the boat gets stuck or the plane, it was a huge whirlpool.
Yes. Yes, that's
it. So they're all at the bottom of the ocean.
And like you just said, Tony, like, hey, people still travel it to this day. But like, according to Wikipedia, the vicinity of the Bermuda Triangle is one of the most heavily traveled shipping lanes in the world.
with ships frequently crossing through its ports for the Americas, Europe, and the Caribbean islands. So these places where you have more than usual traffic, you're going to have more disappearances and things going wrong, and then we apply some type of meaning to that when really there isn't any.
Well, yeah, and that when you have a higher density, I mean, if you have a city of 10,000 people in one place, and then you have a city of 1,000 people in another place, well, of course you're going to have more deaths in the city of 10,000 people.
Well, more murder and crime.
A higher density.
How well traveled do you think the Bermuda Triangle was in 1945?
Probably pretty well. I mean, you had a lot of shipping industry still.
Shipping,
and,
but not... I mean,
not necessarily.
I don't think there was nearly as busy.
I don't know what commercial air flight was at that time yet.
I don't think there was a lot. I mean, it was really expensive to fly.
Yeah.
Still is now.
But then you'd have to compare how many government planes were going down versus other stuff or ships disappearing. I don't know. It's probably all been done.
Maybe it was that U-boat going to
blame Hitler. Blame Hitler.
I blame Hitler. Blame
Hitler.
Canada.
Hitler.
I think that was still a very... I mean... What really put the hook in me again was this idea of, imagine being the radio operator and having to hear that. Because this is documented. This actually happened, right? Just having to go through that and hear somebody say, we're going down.
Well, I think a similar current day reference to that would be the phone calls from 9/11.
Yeah, that's very eerie.
And there's very similar.
Well, that's creepy. There's also the thought that Atlantis is down there. Like, that's, you know, the Bimini Road and all that stuff. So it's like Atlantis is probably making these planes disappear.
Mm. Maybe they're bringing they're bringing them to Atlantis to show them the better place.
They're beaming them back to, like, wherever Atlanteans went.
Beaming them back.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're all dying and they need to repopulate.
Yeah. They need to get some fresh sperm.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Sorry. Scott hates that word.
They're just looking for some
Scott
dick
fetish. Hates that word.
Maybe they're just looking for some semen.
Oh, my
God. I don't think that one bothers them as much
as
sperm.
No, but we're talking about the ocean.
They just need dick fetish. Oh, my.
You guys are
It fine. Always comes back to dicks, don't it?
I know. Why?
Yep. We just brought it back to dicks. You're right.
See, that's what makes this show brilliant.
It's all about that
Scott
the
likes dick.
We should just change the ghost into a wiener screaming into a mic.
Wiener talk.
And Bonnie, you're going to have to change your tattoo.
Oh, no, I like my...
Well,
I
then
like
get another
James.
One. Get another Wiener James.
Well, right. No, you could probably get it altered.
I'll get a Wiener James.
Put a little penis head on him. A little penis hat.
I think we're done. Who just knocked the mic?
It might... I don't know. Hitler. Blame Hitler.
I think it was my cord to my headphones, honestly.
We have to fix that.
Hitler.
Someday we'll actually get a real table, I think, for this thing.
Yeah, one that's
not
hollow.
Can we get comfy
hollow?
Chairs, too? Because, wow, is my ass numb.
And can I ask you something, Scott?
Yeah, go ahead.
You did all this stuff about World War II, and there's nothing about the Pacific. You did everything about Nazis. You have something... You fat... Like
come on, spit it out. What do you want to hear about?
Do you enjoy, like... I mean, I'm not saying war is enjoyable, but do you enjoy the European side of World War II?
Oh, like
II?
Not like Pearl Harbor.
You didn't get anything with Pearl Harbor. You didn't get anything with...
Are there mysterious sides to Pearl Harbor or anything?
Well, I didn't have a lot of
Pacific?
Time here.
No, I didn't know. I was just asking you, like, if you prefer...
We could do another show.
See, I just thought
Tony.
This was going to be, you know, slightly about ghostly tales and things from...
Well, these are strange tales
so,
from World War II.
When I was looking stuff up earlier, there was a lot of references to ghost planes after World War II.
Well, yeah, there was references to the Foo Fighters, but I hate that band, so I didn't mention it.
Oh, my God, that band's
no,
great.
No, I'm specifically talking ghost planes.
Scott, don't listen to him.
Wow.
There was. Okay, well, Bonnie, if you go ahead. Throw it in.
Now you put me on the
spot.
I don't want to talk about it.
Question, what were the Foo Fighters? Because Spattled. I honestly don't know.
Scottle. Anyways, while he's looking it up, I'll tell my story. But anyways...
I can throw my stupid thing out, but I don't want to do
it
that.
It was about a year after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the U.S. had spotted a plane on radar. And they sent some planes up to investigate what it was. And they came back, and they said that it was an American... plane, a fighter plane, mm-hmm. and that it looked like it had been through hell. It was riddled with bullet holes. The pilot was bloody. And it all of a sudden, it just went down and crashed. And when they went to look after it, there was nothing there.
Ooh.
But they had all seen
the
shot up plane and the bloody pilot.
See, I think of that as like a classic example of a residual haunting. Because something that was so traumatic that guy went through and experienced, and it somehow leaves its imprint in the environment, and then it's replayed at a certain time, which is like the only way I think we can scientifically, which there's no way to prove it's scientific, but the only way that we seem to be able to look back in time, like people that see ghost trains, or there's my favorite story of this party going in the 1930s, and it's in England where everything's haunted.
Right.
And this Roman legion just starts walking through the basement of this house. And the woman, because she's at a costume party, well, she initially saw like just one Roman soldier just sitting there. And she went downstairs and there was a bathroom down there, I guess. And she was like, wow, that guy's really well dressed. Holy crap, he's really realistic. And then she asked the person hosting the party, who's the guy dressed as the really authentic Roman soldier? And they're like, no one came dressed like that. What are you talking about? So they go downstairs and they're looking for this guy. And that's when this whole Roman legion just steps out of the wall and starts walking. And they can't communicate with them. They're going through the wall. And then they notice that their feet, like from their ankles down to the bottom of their foot, you couldn't see them.
Right.
And then when they did some digging and whatever, sometime later, they found an old Roman road underneath this London house, which of course a lot of, you know, it's so cool. And so you're literally looking back in time.
People that see, to this day still, marching in Gettysburg.
Yeah, the same concept. Yep.
But there were a lot of references to ghost planes, but that one stuck out in my mind the most.
Foo Fighters. I just hopped on Wikipedia here just because, I mean,
the sponsor of the show tonight, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I have my idea, but I just wanted to have something decent here. So, term Foo Fighter was used by Allied aircraft pilots in World War II to describe various UFOs or mysterious aerial phenomena seen in the skies over both the European and Pacific theaters of operations. Though Foo Fighter initially described a type of UFO reported and named by the U.S. 415th Night Fighter Squadron, the term was also commonly used to mean any UFO sighting
from that
period.
I honestly did not know that.
I had read it before, but anymore when I hear Foo Fighter, I immediately think the band.
Yeah, I just assumed Dave Grohl, but I honestly did not realize that was a term to describe UFOs from that period.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I'll be damned.
Formally reported from November 1994 onwards, witnesses often assumed that the Foo Fighters were secret weapons employed by the enemy.
The Nazis.
In doing the handful of research I did for this show, I mean, I did Foo Fighters came up a lot. I'm like, well, that's a pretty, you know.
It wasn't obvious. I didn't know it. Well, so yeah, someone else listening, and I should know that.
Well, there you go. Fine.
We're educating people that download the show.
Just goes to show that I did actually do some homework the show tonight, because that's where I thought this was going to turn. So I was like, oh, that's a cool story.
Well, we should do a better job. Like, and you pick a story and then you can just tell it. It's so much nicer to tell it. Unless we continue to read stories with added vocalization and drops.
I actually loved the way that we read our story. And then I was coming across stories of what I can only describe as urban legends from World War II.
Ooh, like what?
There were some British soldiers that were in the Swiss Alps, and they got snowed in. And they were all in a bar one night. Supposedly, this is a story that someone's grandfather told them. You know how all legends begin.
Friend of a friend.
And they were all in a bar one night, and of course, everyone there spoke German, and they all spoke English, so there was the gap there, the communication gap. And a gentleman came in and started screaming at all the soldiers in very broken English, basically saying, where you take the children. So they get a translator, they go back, and they find out that since the troops had come to town, things had gone missing from people's homes, from their sheds, like an axe had gone missing, and various things had gone missing, and then children started disappearing. And if it had been just one child, they would have been like, okay, they got lost in a snowdrift or whatever, they froze to death, whatever. Supposedly, they started doing nightly patrols, looking for whatever was causing the mysterious disappearances. And they still occurred. And one night, they just happened to be out after midnight. And they saw someone... Oh, wait. Back it up, because I forgot a part. Ooh. The only adult to disappear during all of this was a soldier that just disappeared in the middle of the night. He was gone for like 2 weeks. No one had any idea where he was. So at midnight one night, they're out looking, and they see someone looking in the window of a home that's dark. So they yell to the figure, "Don't move," and he takes off running. And they all give chase, and they chase him to a cave. And he dives into the cave and then starts shooting at them. And they all return fire. And when the gunfire stops, they go into the cave. And that soldier is there, dead, surrounded by 7 half-eaten children.
Oh, gross.
I swear to God, gross. This story came up while I was looking for...
He was a baby.
While I was looking for creepy tales from World War II, ooh, this story came up like 4 or 5 times.
That is so urban legend.
And this is why I say it's like urban legend-esque, because each site that I found it on...
Slightly different.
There was a slight variation, yep, but it all ended with this soldier in a cave with 7 half-eaten children. So, apparently, gross, urban legends have been alive and well since World War II.
Wow.
I think urban legends have been around way before that.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's the original fake news.
But I genuinely, that story came up like so many times, and I was like, seriously? This is clearly an urban legend. Like,
that was...
My grandfather told me this story on his deathbed. No, he didn't.
That was what my talk was just on in Grand Rapids, was urban legend and being the original fake news.
Yep.
And so I'm going to continue that when I speak in Petoskey in October.
Feel free to take that story.
I will. It might be a good one. The baby eater.
And because, you know, a lot of them end with him in the cave, but then some of them try to explain why he did it. Like, they had been snowed in for months, and they only got a couple hours of sunlight a
day.
Why
only eat half, though? Was there only one good side? Like, well, the left side's plumper than the other? Or?
I don't know. Apparently, he
likes the heart
once
side.
Once he got half through, he needed fresh meat. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, this sucks. I'm sick of this one.
I can't really explain the mind of a crazy cannibal British soldier.
I want a brunette tonight.
Yum, yeah. Yum. And apparently children taste better. I don't know.
They're younger. It's like veal.
Wow, this went to a dark place. But anyways.
It's been dark for like the last 5 minutes.
So... In the process of trying to find stories to tell tonight, I found an urban legend of World War II. So I had to share it.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Yay! I got applause. Whoop, whoop.
All right. I think I've had enough.
All right.
I've had enough of you guys.
Let's close her up.
I've had enough of Tony. I've had enough of you, Amber.
Okay, he's tired of us. Let's go upstairs and sit out on the deck for 3 hours.
Right?
Yeah, I think. Oh, I got the fire pit ready. We can burn wood tonight.
We're gonna burn children.
We're not gonna burn.
Amber,
oh my God, let's isolate that one.
They're like veal.
Let's take that one out. Yeah, exactly.
This is how urban legends start, Amber.
Right.
So I know for a fact,
it tastes like steak.
Oh, God,
veal.
I know for a fact we probably barely even scratched the surface on stuff.
Oh,
like
I'm
this.
Sure.
There's
no,
so
we
much
could do
out there.
Part one.
Yeah,
part
this
two,
is there's
part
so
three,
much out there.
Part four.
But I like having a topic and then everyone search and get
okay,
their
then
take
we should
on
continue
it.
Well, maybe
do
we
this.
Should do that. Well,
damn it! And if anyone listens to us, give us feedback.
Yeah, let us. Well, no, people. We've had a lot of people like suggesting shows and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, but it's nice to have someone actually legit send in an email or comment on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to the show. You sound like a bunch of drunken morons.
I know there's
we
people,
need more stuff
yeah,
like
I
that.
I know there's people that listen, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I never write into the people, but they do appreciate hearing feedback from you as long as you're not too vicious and evil and mean.
If you're vicious and evil and mean, send it to gtbonnie@gmail.com.
Bonnie@ghostlytalk.com.
If you're going to be mean,
you just gave away your personal email.
I don't
man.
Care.
You're in trouble.
I did it on the first show.
Did you?
I said when people want to send hate mail, send it there.
Well,
what about the dick pics?
That goes to Dickometer at ghostandtalk.com.
we're gonna do a Dickometer
forward. No, seriously, I'm writing that right now. Dickometer.
Let's set up the forwarder tomorrow.
At Ghostly Talk. And if one person, I don't care if it's Ray, if you're still listening, Ray, and if Bobby, anybody, if someone listens to this show, just send a fake cartoon dick to Dickometer at ghostlytalk.com.
We're going
to
set this up.
Oh, God.
I got to do this work tomorrow now? You're really setting this up.
No, you really
up.
Don't
I can do
have
it.
To.
No, I will do this. It'd take me 2 seconds to set up a forward.
That's a lot of work.
Oh, my God, it is not.
That's too much work.
Oh, I'm doing it.
I don't want to
I'm
do
doing it
tonight. I can't believe you just singled out specific listeners to send us dick pics.
Yeah, we like called people out. Like,
well, I don't want Ray or other people. I'm not saying send me your No.
Send me your dick.
A lot of good people listen to this show.
Send me
yeah,
your
I
dick
mean,
pics,
but I'm just
right?
saying that there might. You want to send a cartoon wiener.
Cartoon.
Okay, all right.
Draw one.
Okay, I'm tired
draw
of hearing
one.
About this shit.
Draw
stop.
A cartoon one.
Sounds like a punk
no
rock
more.
Band name.
Artistic.
Cartoon
no more.
Wiener.
Stop.
Pairing tonight.
If there's artists
wiener.
Out there, send in your artistic dick pic.
This
okay,
has
right,
been
stop.
Ghostly Talk. I'm Bonnie.
I'm Amber.
I'm Scott. And bye, Tony.
I'm Tony.
Listen to our band, right?
Now.